We do apologize for the delay in our broadcast. Hello and welcome to News 24 On Air, our live audio service. I'm Mihlali Ntsabo. On Wednesday, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan announced that the deal to sell 51% of the South African Airways to Takata Consortium was off the table. The controversial deal, which was first agreed on in June 2021, had faced widespread criticism, one of them primarily being 51% of SAA being sold to Takata for 51 rand. To tell us more about the reasons why the deal crashed, Carol Payton, News 24 Business's writer at large, now joins us on the line. Carol, thank you for joining us. So on Wednesday, Minister Gordhan announced that the deal was off the table, citing various factors. Did he perhaps elaborate on what these factors were? Carol?
Thank you, Ms. Lali. Sorry. Yes, he did elaborate, and he said that the key issue was that government had changed the price. So almost 3 years later, government came up with a very different valuation of the airline's assets. Now, that was because at the time that they did the original valuation, SAA had been grounded for 2 months. Oh, sorry, 18 months. And it was basically, the business was worth zero. Mm-hmm. And the property assets were also valued very low. So that, you know, that was a long time ago. And everyone in government was saying, well, you know, surely things have changed. SAA is flying now, it's a viable business.
Right. And what is the price valuation now?
Right. So what happened was at the time of when the deal was announced, the business was that the operations of the business were valued at zero. Mm-hmm. And the assets, as in the buildings and, you know, the planes that they had and the landing slots and all that, was valued at 2.4 billion.
Right.
And the new valuation, which he did, I think sort of December last year, the new valuation came out with a value of 1 billion for the business, for the mm-hmm. operations, and 5.5 billion for the properties and the assets. So very, very, very big valuation, very different story for the transaction.
Right. And now let's talk about Takata briefly. Who exactly are they, and how did they come to almost landing a deal of acquiring 51% of the South African Airways?
Yes, well, that's another one of the very contentious issues that you put your finger on. So the first one was obviously the price, and the second one was who is Takata, how did they get chosen?
Right.
So what happened was the minister at the time had, you know, employed transaction advisors, RMB, which is the normal way of doing things. You wouldn't try and structure a merger and acquisition transaction on your own. Mm. He got in advisors, and the advisors basically came up with two big global corporations as the favorites. But neither of them, you know, all of them had conditions which DPE was not, which that is Pravin Gordhan's department, were not prepared to meet.
Mm.
So, for instance, they had asked, you know, they had said they want some, one had said, we want to also buy the airports company, and another one had said, you know, we can't put money in, et cetera, et cetera. So what the department then did, and what Pravin Gordhan and his deputy director general then did, was to look around for a possible buyer. And it seems like on their advice, there's a memorandum that has surfaced. It seems that on the advice of the deputy director general, two parties who had bid along the way, a company called Harris General Partners and a company called Global Aviation, which that's the owner of the Lyft, they had been involved at some point, and it was suggested to them that they collaborate, and then they did. And they formed this consortium called Takata, which previously didn't exist. It doesn't own anything else. And I would imagine now it will cease to exist.
And so the original terms and conditions of this deal were that 51% of the airline, you know, would change hands for 51 rand. Could you perhaps explain to us what exactly that means? Because one would also imagine then that was obviously one of the primary contentious reasons, you know, around surrounding the deal.
Exactly. So the way the transaction was structured was that the price was determined to be 51 rand.
Uh-huh.
And in return for getting the airline for this nominal fee, Takatso committed to raising 3 billion rand and putting it into the business. So what SAA needs more than anything is capital, and so they were going to give this capital, but they were going to do it in the form of a loan. So in other words, when that loan is repaid, and it would be quite a long time before the loan is repaid, but once that loan is repaid, then Takatso effectively would be getting the airline for 51 rand, assuming that the transaction had floated and this had not happened. So that is how it was structured. And, you know, it wasn't unusual in sort of the corporate finance world, in the sense that, you know, I don't know if you remember the famous story of, you know, OK Bazaar being sold for 1 rand. But this does happen where you've got a distressed business and really no one's interested really in buying a distressed business, and they're going to have to put money into it to revive it. This does happen. So it wasn't so much that as was the problem, but it was, well, where does this 3 billion come from? Is it real money? Is it the captor's money? Is it just a loan? Does it get repaid? There were lots and lots of questions around that. And there was another aspect which I must just mention in terms of the structure of the transaction, which was that to compensate for the fact that SAA would at some point become profitable, one would imagine, government was also given 3 billion rand in preference shares. So they were going to get paid out of dividends. So each part, you know, the capital were going to put in 3 billion, government was going to get 3 billion. And then Takatso would get their 3 billion repaid. So it wasn't an unusual deal, but I think because SAA is a public asset, and also because there was not much transparency around the deal, and there was a lot of suspicion, you know, it didn't fly.
Right. And just still on how these kinds of deals actually work or happen, I mean, Carol, we know that, you know, Minister Gordhan had faced a lot of backlash for this deal, you know, from his party and also, of course, from Treasury, who said that, you know, they weren't even part of, you know, the negotiation process of the deal. Perhaps could you maybe take us through how exactly do these kinds of deal typically happen, especially in relation to, you know, I guess, entities that such as SAA that actually belong to the state?
Well, you see, this is part of the issue, is that there hasn't been too many of these sorts of transactions. Mm. So there have been, you know, joint ventures formed and parts of state-owned assets, like, you know, for instance, the SAA was at one point, did have a minority ownership from Swissair.
Mm.
So there have been some transactions, but there isn't really a template for how you should do them. And when the state buys or sells an asset, or when a department of government buys or sells an asset, like, for instance, you know, the Guptas wanted to buy or sell part of Danel, I can't remember how their transaction was going to work. And you have to get the permission of the finance minister. So Praveen Gordhan has said, well, this is, and he didn't do this. And Praveen Gordhan has said, well, I didn't need to, because this was a merger and acquisition transaction. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a government department selling an asset.
Mm.
So there's a kind of, you know, he's kind of splitting hairs, but that's his argument, which he says that's why he didn't actually break the law in going it alone. And I think nobody's really, well, especially now that the transaction is not happening, no one's really got the appetite to argue about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Auditor General, who sort of audits the books of you know, government departments and state-owned enterprises, has suggested that Praveen Gordhan's department draw up some sort of guidelines and templates, because if there are going to be more disposals of state-owned assets, which is what we do expect given the fiscal constraints and operational constraints of these entities, there needs to be some sort of set of guidelines as to how this should be done.
Right. And Carol, just to close off, I guess now the question is, so what happens next?
So what happens next is you know, I suspect SAA is going to be in trouble quite soon. And, you know, Praveen Gordhan says that, well, in terms of the resources that SAA has got now at its disposal, it can keep on going for 12 to 18 months. But after that, it's going to need to raise more funding. And where that funding comes from is not at all clear. So I did ask him, you know, do you think you still need to get a private equity, you know, partner, strategic equity partner from another big company? And he said, well, look, SAA needs capital. And that's true. SAA really does need a capital injection.
Mm.
And since government's not going to give it, it's got two options. It sells part of itself to a private partner, or it borrows money. Now, borrowing money for SAA is not going to be an easy thing, because firstly, Treasury doesn't want SAA to borrow money. And secondly, even if they did, I think banks are not going to be that excited about doing it. Given the fact that it looks like this year, this financial year, the SAA is heading for a loss. So it's not a vibrant, healthy business.
Yeah.
And if Treasury's not up for guaranteeing any loans, then it's going to be very, very tough. So I kind of feel like we are starting the whole SAA story all over from the beginning, and we're going to go through this whole cycle again.
Carol Payton, writer at large at News 24. And to find the full story, do visit news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Ihlali Ntsabo.